a lot of people, a lot of God's people, they living in the world, and they are seeing the natural, and they're not making plans to advance. You know, but we must make plans to advance. I don't plan on not prospering. I don't plan on staying sick if something attacks me. I don't plan on my marriage staying on the rocks if it's on the rocks. I don't plan on my family being in turmoil if they're in turmoil. I'm going to make plans to see the goodness of God in my life. And this is every individual. The church corporately comes together and we pray and we stand together, praise God, but there has to be an independent stand on the Word of God and God's promises that it's going to come to pass. I don't care what government's in. I don't care what the economy is. I don't care what drought comes. I don't care what problem comes my way. There has to be a personal stand on God's Word that God is faithful to you. Because there's going to be times when everybody is not going to cheer you on. Everybody's not going to cheer you on while you're in your race and while you're waiting on your promises, because they've got their own fight going on. They've got their own fight of faith that they're taking stands on. But you know, God allows sometimes places to where you are not patted on the back. You are not celebrated, but that don't mean God has forsaken. That just means that God is going to have all the glory from Scotty when he brings me through when nobody can. When he brings me out when I really want to quit, and I don't quit, I keep trusting. See, and then that causes each one of our hearts, because we make that independent stand on God's Word to see God's goodness in our life, that causes our heart to be built giving glory to God. See, had I just trusted on this natural realm, I would have went under financially. I was pacing, and I got here an hour and prayed for an hour before service this morning, and I'm just walking up and down, and I'm praying. And God said, "Do you know why your business prospers and has prospered?" And I said, "Well, I think I know, Lord, but go ahead and let me know." He said, "It's because you sowed seeds and you tithed your business all those years." He said, "You wasn't depending on your business." He said, you were putting your trust in me to prosper that thing that I had put you in." See, you got to believe God and sow seeds wherever you're at, and trust God in that God will prosper you, that God will bring good out of the bad that comes your way. Don't put your trust in your job. Put your trust in Jesus as your Lord, and He's your source. But be honorable on your job. Do your job as unto the Lord, and praise God for your job. Hallelujah. But make a stand, you know. And then when your job tries to get in, if it ever does, tries to get in the way of the will of God, your trust has not been in the job all along. Your trust has been in the Lord, so the battle will not be as long with you to make a choice that who is your supplier. Hallelujah. How many knows we're living in a time where many of God's people respond to the natural realm and make no plans to see God's goodness? The Satan will come, see, it's just one thing. I hear that again. I hear it. I hear waves of this not God's glory, this kind of glory every now seasonal seems like. You know, I'll go to people's houses and their garage doors tore up, and they say, "Yeah, it's just one thing after another. I had to replace this. Now this has went out. Now the garage door, blah, blah, blah," you know. And I want to tell them, you know, 99.9% of Americans live where you're talking about. But there's a majority. I want to tell them, but I don't. But there's a majority of us that's learned how to praise the Lord in the middle of all this mess and know that Romans 8:28 says, to me or to whoever takes that to them personally, that God, we know that God works all things together for the good to those that love Him and to them who are the called according to His purpose. He don't work things to the good for everybody. The Bible says to those that love God and to those that are called according to His purpose. Everybody that's born again was chosen by the Lord. We didn't choose the Lord. Oh yeah, I remember now. No, you had a drawing or you would not have wanted God. God drawed me. God wooed me. God chose me. God chose you. God could have left you alone to your own destruction. God could have said, well, you know what? I put you down here and created you in my likeness and image, and you're such a brat that I'm just going to let you have your little snotty way. But He didn't. He steps into our life. See, pride says we made our own self. But humility says we are nothing without God. We can do nothing without God. And although we come to levels of faith, without Him we are nothing. Without His faith that we have, we didn't even get it. The Bible says that every man has been what? Given. The measure of faith, the God kind of faith, the faith that moves the mountains was not come from us or reading the Bible. It came from God. And then God, as we read His Word humbly and we serve Him humbly and we tell Him, not my will, your will be done, God. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. Then as you read the Bible, God begins to reveal things that are hidden from the natural and revealed by the Spirit on the inside of me and you, which is called revelation. And the Bible says revelation, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. He told Peter, he said, Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, some say you're Elijah, some say you're that. He said, but who do you say that I am? He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, he said, man didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, and upon this rock, this revealing knowledge, the gates of hell can't prevail. Did you know that's what happened? You can't break me financially. I've got a revelation of tithing and giving, but God, and I'm in covenant with God. I'm in covenant with God through faith by because of Jesus, and I give, and it's given to me. Good measure, pressed down. That's everybody that gets it. I pray that God gives you revelation on giving that I mean a wreck. I mean, it'll just wreck your whole world. It'll just be, I've got to give. I want to be a giver. I want to be somebody. I want to be the one with a fist full of dollars, God, that helps people. I want to be the one. I want to be your hands and feet in this way, Lord. And you know what? When you have that revelation, I mean, it just burns in you. You can't help it. When you find out somebody is in need, you want to step in and do it. But then you learn to be led, because I have been broke because of other people. They'll just suck you dry. And when it's God, it prospers. But when it's not led, then you can suffer. But see, give me that first scripture, Beth. I didn't forget what I got. Oh, I know what I got. One before that, wasn't it? No? All right, give me the other one. Yeah, I think that's what I want. Yeah, here we are. Right here. And I'm going to explain something that, because I'm praying, and I know what I'm going to tell you already, because Christians are not flaky. Real Christians are not flaky. They're stable. They are trustworthy. They are sound-minded people. They know what their marriage is. They know what the Word says about it. They know about finances. They know. They're not flaky. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, I wrote a tithe check, but it ain't there. I'm going to believe God that it gets there before it runs through the bank. I said, that's not faith. See, that's a flaky Christian. A real Christian will say, I'm not writing a bad check. Right? He says, but you are a chosen. You've been chosen by God. Chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A set apart nation. A peculiar. That's where they get that, you know, we're weird. Like Christians are weird, but this peculiar. Strange, they say. They've not even looked at that word to see what that word means. That word peculiar means God's own special people. That's what that word means. It don't mean you're a weirdo. That don't mean that we just run around here, you know, and people look at us and say, I don't know if I'm going to be a Christian. No, they look at us and they say, glory to God. They're some of the most stable in troubled waters people that I've ever seen. I mean, they know what to do. They know how to talk to God. He said, they'll say they are stable, not because their marriage is perfect, because they stand on the word that no weapons formed against them will prosper. Hallelujah. Peculiar means that we're God's own special people. That's what peculiar means. It don't mean go around being a weirdo. We're not weirdos. I'm not a weirdo. I'm one of the most stable people in Blount County. I didn't say the only one. I'm one of the most. I've been married 38 years. That's a miracle. I've been right here for 22 years. That's the second miracle. Because there's a lot of God's people I'd like to spank. They make my life hard. I've had to separate them in here. Tell them, shh, hey, I'm up here preaching. People's trying to listen. Some people ain't here, brought their squabble here. They here, they're not squabbling, but they was before they got here. They're trying to find answers to their problems. They won't be quiet, so I go back there and get up. You get up, and you come over here, sit. Separate y'all. Separate them right here. Y'all want to act like you're in the nursery? Well, then, black God, we're going to have a parent over you. I mean, I know they're just caught up in their anger and in their squabbling and all that stuff, but we are stable. I stabilized them. I got them kind of straightened out after about 3 years. Kinda. Because they've been in here, these peculiar, we're just them peculiar Christians. No, y'all the weirdo Christians. I'm not gonna just feed your garbage. The Bible says we are chosen, anointed by the one that set the stars, hung the moon, rolled back the Red Sea. We have his nature on the inside of us, and we are not weird. So don't you ever believe that garbage of the devil. Don't you ever believe that doctrine. That doctrine didn't come from God, that we're weird, that Christians are just weird. No, we're not weird. We are sound. We have a sound mind. We have the mind of Jesus Christ. We have the Word of God that we renew our mind with, that causes us to think like God and speak like God and walk like God and believe like God. People, that you should show forth the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. See, I don't serve Him today for money. Money serves me. I don't serve Him because He gave me a house. I let the house serve me. My cars serve me. My tractors serve me. My stuff that God serves me, I don't serve it. I don't bow to it. People bow to it all the time. I can't go to church because I got a new car and I've worked 83 hours and I ain't got time for church. Get rid of the car. Get rid of that thing that is in the way of the will of God, because you are a chosen, a royal priesthood, a set apart, a peculiar, a very special his own very special people. Look it up, study it. I'm not weird, Bunty. Now, some of my family thinks I'm weird because I believe God. Some of my family thinks I'm weird because I don't have partake in Halloween. Some people, but I just read you a whole sermon on witchcraft behind all of that, pagan worship and all of that stuff. Do your own homework. Go look at it. Google it. And I will, people think I'm strange because I won't praise Santa Claus. They believe I'm strange because I won't celebrate an Easter bunny with Easter eggs and go have the whole church. You know, other churches ain't none of my business. This is my business. This is the one God chose me for and anointed me for. And you know what? Your marriage is never where it can't be healed. I don't believe it. The Bible says all things are possible to those that believe. Went to council one time with two, and one sat on one side of the table, another on the other side of the table. Their marriage was on the rocks and everything, you know, and she's accusing him and he's accusing her. And I just stopped it. I said, wait a minute. I said, you are at fault and you are at fault. Both of y'all are guilty. I said, y'all both believe that you're right and you're right. I said, y'all are both wrong. I said, now y'all repent right now. I'm sure y'all loved one another before y'all of this started. Why did y'all get married? Was y'all that dumb? I mean, get people to think down here on a level, you know, and went off and they said that I destroyed their marriage. People think I'm weird because I tell them counsel from the Bible. Husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. That don't mean control your wife like a man ought to. Think about it. Love your wife as Christ so loved the church. How did he love the church? He gave his life for it. See, this is Bible. That's why a lot of people, well, he don't understand our marriage, man. We got to go somewhere where they understand both sides. No, there ain't no in the middle. It says, wives, submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. As you would submit to God, you submit to your husband. That's what the scripture says. Now see, these are not a bunch of demands and rules and laws and regulation. There's laws of the kingdom that are released in a marriage when a man does that or when a woman does that. There's spiritual laws of blessing that comes on Satan can't break it. Anger can't break it anymore. I mean, there's things that come, but it cannot kill, steal, and destroy. And the Word, whenever we activate the Word, don't take the Word as a bunch of rules and laws and regulations. No, we receive it by faith. We walk in it by grace. We have a holy anointing from the Lord. We've been called out. And so good. Let the heathen rage. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, every individual on this planet, I said, you are a faithful God. I said, nobody will go to hell without knowing that there's another way. I said, you are faithful and you will make sure. Nobody backslid will stay backslid unless they know the truth somehow from the Lord that they need to get back right with God. Nobody will miss the promises of God without God showing them the steps and the highway to that high place. Hallelujah. But it's up to me and you, it's up to every individual to take that personal stand on God's Word. Faith in God, not just in the Bible. The Bible, we have faith in God based on what the Bible says about God. Based on what the Bible says that who we are. I believe I'm a chosen generation. I believe I've been set apart by a holy God. I believe you've been set apart by a holy God. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. A lot of people don't even know what that means. That means that when something gets in the way of the will of God, I say I'm standing against that. That's holy. Set apart. Holy means to be set apart. When business demands me on Wednesday, I just get rid of the business. Why? Because somebody told me here the other day, they said, "Well, you don't work on Wednesday much, do you?" I said, "Yeah, I work on Wednesday." I said, "But not all day." I said, "I've got a full-time kingdom job." I said, "And that kingdom job comes before this natural job." But now, I care about the natural job. If I didn't, I'd done quit it. I done quit one time like starved to death because God wouldn't bring it in the mailbox like I was believing. I believe in bringing it in the mailbox. Going out the mailbox, I'm a full-time evangelist. I've been full-time ministry ever since I got saved, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or maybe 5 months, somewhere along in there. And so I've got to do like everybody else does, quit my job and fast and pray and sit at home and wait on doors to open, and I'm going to the mailbox every day and nothing in it. I didn't get discouraged till about the third week and we're getting hungry. And Teresa, "I believe the Lord wants you to go back to work." And I'm like, "I rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus. Bless God, I'm a full-time minister, bless God. Full-time people don't work." Then I found out Jesus did. I found out Jesus went in there, he's a carpenter, right? I found out that Paul went in there so that he wouldn't be a burden to the church and had a job and went and preached to them. I started finding out in the Bible that I'm a businessman anointed by the Lord to preach the gospel here. I'm an anointed businessman. I'm an anointed pastor. You know, got an apostolic anointing that we're all over the world. People will say, "How's your little church?" And I say, "I ain't never had one." And that gets on people's nerves right there too. "Well, I mean, how many people you got?" That's not determined how big a church is. People don't determine your vision. I got a world vision. I'm sitting in my living room and I'm hearing a preacher. I mean, I'm telling you this because God quickens you to things of the kingdom in your own life that will actually draw you out of, and you'll be different from other folk. You won't be weird, but you got a journey your own, and nothing's going to get in your way, and people won't understand you. They won't understand why you're so passionate, why you seem to be, you know, so down on the devil. I don't fellowship with the devil. I get a thought that's contrary from that word, I say, "Stupid idiot. And don't you even learn I'm not paying no attention to that thought. Why? Cast it down right quick. Don't your Bible say it? 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, it says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." There it is, the knowledge of God, "and bringing into captivity every thought." Every thought. So when the devil tells me, "Well, Tracy, I just don't love you anymore," I don't go, "Oh, baby, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" I tell that devil, "Well, she'll be dumb if she don't, but God, I'm a chosen generation. I'm anointed by God. She would be an idiot to leave me." Don't you feel that way about yourself? You should. She should feel that way about herself. Black God, if he thinks I'm going to come down there where the devil is, black God, he'd be an idiot if he left me. I serve the Lord. I worship God. I go to church. I pray. I fast. I pray. You know, she ought to feel that way. She ought not to be intimidated. I heard a guy one time, he said, "I hope my wife don't get fat." And I'm like, "Well, you're pretty fat yourself. You don't want your wife fat? Is that embarrassing to you? Look at you. Come on, somebody. They're Christians. I'm not talking to people out in the world. These were Christians, you know. I'm like, "Why you think you're going to be ashamed if she gets a few fat rolls? I don't care if Teresa jiggles all over the church and out. Just, let's go home and be happy, baby." I mean, she can fall down and roll like a donut, man. That ain't going to bother me none. By God, hallelujah. Somebody looks and say, "She's fat." Yeah, and I say, "She's all mine, too." Come back with something good, right? I got more than you got. Yours is skinny. I got more woman than you, homie. Mine's to the full. till it overflows. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Praise God. See, all these stupid things the devil tries to pull on us, and we make light of it because we're anointed and chosen by the Lord. And we don't pay no attention to his foolishness to get us to go ahead and get down in life, get down to where we're not expecting the promises of God. I got mad at Teresa and tore the driveway up over the weekend. And I'm out there, and I'm up there, and I'm like, bless God. I was mad, man. And I'm going back and forth, and something's come up, you know, and I didn't get to do what I wanted to do and everything. And then I'm up there, and I heard Travis say, he told one of the kids, he said, Nathan, his kids, y'all watch for Pawpaw flying around in here. And I'm like, man, that was not a good witness. So you know what? I have to go to the Lord and say, look, I've done something stupid, Lord. I mean, I mean, it felt good. Sylvester, it felt good to be mad one more time for old time's sake. For a few minutes. I mean, it felt good. I felt like Dukes of Hazzard there for a minute. I get the hydroplane. You know, man, I'm doing good. I'm turning on that engine, boy. That 6.0's a rambling. I mean, I'm slaying rocks clean over to my neighbors. Wave at my neighbors and they're like, wonder if he's okay over there. That's out of the ordinary. That's a weird Christian. See, usually I'm stable. See, when you're right with the Lord, you're going to be stable. When you're not right, you're yielding the wrong way. You're yielding to wrong emotions. You're not going to be stable now. Now you're unstable. And Satan does things. He brings in devices when we get unstable. Because he tries to bring in confusion. And all of that stuff comes with that. You got to stay stable. My baby needs to know that I got it together. Praise God. Your baby needs to know you got it together, Johnny. You too. Why? See, you're sending a signal to Satan. You might as well go to the neighbors, Jack. You might as well go down there to them that don't know God, that ain't chosen, that ain't give in to that chosen. God's chosen. Everybody on the planet belongs to God. But you got to get in there to be this chosen generation. You got to yield to him like we all have. Now, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Just like the Lord telling me, I'm pacing backwards and forwards and praying for the service and all of that, you know. And God said, he asked me, he said, how come? I told you. He said, it's because you tithe. He said, you tithe and you planted seeds out of your business, you know. And why? I had a revelation. I was taking it to church, and some people would say, oh, that old fat cat Scotty got his own business. I don't need no money. They just didn't know I was 3 months behind on my house and everything, and they'd already sent me a letter of quick foreclosure and wanted me out of my house. They didn't know the bank's going to come. I didn't own nothing then, don't think no trucks or nothing. They just didn't know that I'm 3 months behind on all of my vehicles. They didn't know that I didn't even have the money to put gas in to come to church. That I went by faith. I drove on empty to the house of God. They didn't know all this faith preaching that I was doing, how I felt in my flesh, man, but my spirit, man. They didn't know that God wouldn't let me say anything to y'all guys, that I'm broke. Y'all would have took up an offering. Y'all would have given me $5. Somebody would have given me some money. God wouldn't let me even say anything about it here at church. Why? God's working on me. God's working on me. And you know what? I never did need your money. I found out that God is my supplier for real. I found out, thank God, hallelujah, that if I stand and wait on him and believe that it's going to happen, what was I doing? I was making plans to see the goodness of God. And you know what, praise God, I came out of that trial in 2009 and I've never been behind again on nothing. And I mean, ever since then, praise God, hallelujah, I mean, I own everything. Well, me and the government. I got to go pay land taxes. sometime or another. $700-something, Teresa said. I'm like, what? $700? I've been paid in escrow. You don't know how good you got it till you got it paid off. Then you have to come up and believe God for your $1,800 a year insurance. And you got to believe God, you've been paying it a little bit of a time. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? And then all these trucks that you're going to have and stuff, and you get them in on the, and you just, he has to bring it in a box to how many tags you got and blow the horn to bring it in your house because all your tag things won't fit in the mailbox. And then you're like, well, Teresa's got a stack of it. You need to take care of that Wednesday and pay the taxes. And I'm like, I'm not looking at it. That stack's like that. I don't know how much it is, Dunny. Oh, I don't know if I want all that. Don't prosper. If you're going to prosper now, you got to get built up as you prosper to maintain. Maintain. You're going to maintain. You're believing for your nice house. Pray God, well, just believe for that payment. Go past the house to the payment. Go past the house. Okay? Because all the excitement is when them payments start. And you look and you're paying more interest than you are on the house, the principal. I looked at mine one time and I was like, whoa, glory to God. I told Teresa, I said, don't ever let me see that again. I'm telling you the interest. I'm coming to join you a little bit, you know. Fred Sanford little deal there, man. That was a shock. I'm like, God, let me look 5 years down the road. Look, 5 years later, and it's still crazy. And I'm like, I'm not looking at it again. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things, I'm telling you, you got to bring that word in there and say, bless God, no matter what, God, I'm not looking at the downside of it, Lord. I will own this house, me, not me in the bank in the name of Jesus. And I would walk out against that house and lay my hand on a certain brick on the back of my house for 12 years. I did it, 12. Somebody say 12. I'd lay my hands on there and I'd say, I own you, me and Teresa, and Jesus owned you. Not me, you, and Wells Fargo. And you know today, Wells Fargo ain't got no part of my house. Me and Teresa and Jesus own that. But I believed for it. I believed when the payments were $1,000 a month and I couldn't see how we're going to make it. See, but we are a chosen generation. We're chosen and given that faith of God. We're not natural. We are supernatural beings. We have been born of God's Spirit, and God's anointing lives on the inside of me and you. That anointing destroys all these yokes of defeat if we let it out, if we walk in it. Hallelujah. And you won't be able to see it until you walk in it. That's why Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see. And Jesus was merciful. And he said, blessed are those who believe and cannot see. Blessed are them. He let Thomas see. He let Thomas stick his fingers in there and all that, but he told us, he said, blessed are those that believe and cannot see. See, we live a, faith is not blind like some people think. Faith knows where it's going. But faith sees into the future. That's why I laid my hands on my house. I couldn't see it being paid off. I didn't have it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't see it happening. That's why I have a block wall that I pull up in my driveway, and I've got a block retaining wall. I went out and talked to that dirt, and I said, you won't be dirt. I will have my wall. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I just receive it. And so every time I would pull up in my driveway, the Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith, not by looking at the dirt. So I would pull up and I would talk to my block wall. Johnny, I didn't have the money. I didn't have the money for the block. I didn't have the money for the cement. And I sure didn't have the money to pay anybody. But you know what? Every time I would pull up, you know, I would speak to that block wall that was not there. The Bible says in Romans 4 that God calls those things that be not. That's what makes us seem to be weird to people. because we do what the Bible says. Now, the Bible is weird and backwards to the world. And then Christians that are worldly, they think it's foolish. The Bible says He will use the foolish things to confound those that are wise. That seems foolish to people. I've even had preachers to tell me that there's no need in all of that confession stuff. Brother, I mean, that don't make a lick of sense. And I always tell them, where are we supposed to make sense in this kingdom? The Bible says in Proverbs 3, lean not to Scotty's own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge God, and He will direct me and get me my block wall. So I come by my neighbor one day. I don't know, maybe a year or so into it. See, look, it don't make no difference how long. If you've already got it, it don't bother you till you get it. Right? The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. Right? Mark 11:22, have faith in God. We got, that means have the faith of God, and we got it. Okay, then you say, I thank you, Lord, for my block wall. Block wall, somebody, where is it at? Well, it's here. Well, I can't see it. That don't matter. It's here. See, and they go, oh, see how foolish that boy is. See how foolish. They pull up now. Oh, when did you get that? When I asked for it? I got it a year and a half before I got it down here in the ground. Driving down through there, turning down through there, and here's this guy. He's laying block, and I'm like, oh, there's my block man. He's next door, Lord. So I go to the house, and then I go back up there. And I say, hey, homie. He said, yeah. I said, hey, man, I want you to come up here, and when you get done, I'm wanting a block wall. I ain't got no money. I ain't got no block. I ain't got nothing. A guy gives me the block right after this. They went to church here. I'm just preaching, saying, glory to God, believe you, receive it when you have it. I have my block wall, blah, 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 blah. We're just going, blah, 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 blah. And then somebody's sitting back there, and they're like, Jesus said, give him them block. And I'm like, he said, when you want to go get your block? I said, what block? He said, I was sitting back there while you was preaching, and God told me to give you them block I got over there. I said, "Black God, give me the address. Now my block wall's here." But you know what? They were big 8-inch block, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. I got to go load all them off the ground and put them on a trailer. That was hard work. See, your fight of faith is going to cost you water lines. I mean, she's going to want new refrigerators, and it ain't over. And that's okay, because she knows how to go to the house of the Lord and believe God and don't even let nobody. Lord, I'm believing you for a stainless steel. I don't know if you like stainless steel. I'm just making a point. Well, if he can get a white one to you, why can't he get a stainless? Right? I mean, if he can get me a Volkswagen, surely he can get a Mercedes. He owns everything of the earth. Everything belongs to him, right? Just don't covet my neighbor. If I want what my neighbor's got, don't ask God for his. Believe for somebody's ready to get rid of theirs and the money to get it. Don't want something for nothing. And God will give you plenty to get your heart's desire. Well, he comes down there. And in the meantime, he's laying this block. These blocks were given to me. Now I got the block. I got more than enough block. I got the money to build me a storm pit, but I just don't want to get in fear and run to that storm pit. Nothing wrong with storm pit. I just can't find the anointing. You know? But anyways. Go over there, and he comes over there, and I said, yeah, I want it right here. All of this, you know, and all of that stuff right there. And he said, you got the block? And I said, yeah, I got it. He said, I'm going to need so much cement. I didn't have no money. I'm telling you, I didn't have a dime, man. Not for that. I mean, we're having to see which bill to pay every month. Asking God which one. Because we can't pay them all. So don't tell me hardship can't mold you and make you and bring out the promises of God. And I said, oh, that ain't no problem, no problem. He said, and I need so much sand. And I'm thinking, good Lord, anything else you need, man? You just don't understand, man. See? But I didn't tell him, I can't afford that much, man. Can't you break it down? Come on, break it down. Can I make some payments? I said, I ain't no problem, ain't no problem. And I left and I thought, glory to God, this will come just like my block come. It'll come just like, and by the time he got done and ready, I had the cement and I had the sand. And at the time I'm telling, see, you can't speak those things that are the way they are and expect to have those things come to you that your heart desires, that you know that's contrary to it. You can't speak contrary to your desires that are in here. You got to keep it straight. I mean, I've had people to tell me, well, Pastor, you know, you just got to call it like it is. I said, what book did you get that out of? Yours? You wrote that chapter. You don't get that out of the Bible. Just call it like it is. Call it like it is. See, people that work with their carnal mind, that's all they can do, Sylvester. Because they're identifying with the way it looks, the way it feels, the way it sounds, and the way everybody else. I mean, I heard it when the economy got bad. I mean, rumor went around, blown overhead doors, going under. Just nobody knew nothing about it, going under. And I heard that, and I thought, oh, God, it is. I mean, oh, Satan will give you some good evidence that things are not going to be good. And he don't have to know anything about you. Them people don't. And I rose up on the inside, bless God. I mean, I just had a state trooper tell me the other day, if this happens, the blown overhead door won't be. I started to give him a nine point lecture right there in the middle of the highway, but I didn't. I drove off and I said, God gave me blown overhead door, and ain't nothing can take it out. Praise God. Now, if I listen to that, I'll be like, all the time, oh, God, I got to get LLC going on. What is that anyhow? Insurance? I ain't going there. I don't know LLC. I know they want 30%. Is it LLC? Yeah, that. Come on, man, put me in LLC here, baby. Just $25 on every $100, and we'll make sure nobody ever takes anything from you. Yeah, I'll pay you $250 million, and I'm in my faith anyhow, and I've built you three houses, Jack. I'm not against LLC, but I'm not afraid. Contractor told me one time, what if you get sued? I said, what if I don't? Like God, if God be for me, what? Then cost me nothing. If God be for me, who can be against me? The Better Business Bureau. Somebody turned me in one time. I know I'm slobbering. Turned me into the Better Business Bureau one time, you know. And the Better Business Bureau calls me. See, all they want is my money too. Better Business. Come on, man. Better Business. We'll give you a good name. I got one before I got to you, Jack. I got out of Bible, good name, rather to be chosen than fine gold and silver, right? I got it out of Bible. Now you want me to pay you because I'm out here working hard and just pay you where I can have your little sticker on my windshield and on my door? The Better Business Bureau. Well, they called me. They said, well, Mr. Weston, you need to respond. Had a little nasty thing in there. Called me. And I said, I'm responding right now. I said, you better call her, and you better get her to clear this up, because my end is clear. Well, you need to put your statement out there. I said, I'm making it right now. That's the Better Business Bureau. I don't care. If God be for me, who can be against me? I told a lawyer one time, I said, hey, maybe me and you need to eat lunch together. Me and him had some heated conversations too, boy. I said, man, you need to give me your address. Maybe we need to. He said, are you threatening me, Mr. Weston? I said, I'm going to eat with you, man. I wasn't, Johnny. I was not. So I told him, I said, hey, you know what, man? I said, you put your pants on just like I did. I don't know if you're sitting on the bed or you got up and put yours on. If you have to hold the wall, I don't really know how you got your britches on this morning. But I assumed they went on just like me. I mean, just because you're a lawyer and got money, I mean, you ain't got, I mean, you don't roll around there and everybody just flip your britches on. Don't the Bible tell you to fear not? Fear not. Fear not, little. We're not fear. We're not afraid of the war going on. Our God, the Bible says that no evil shall be. I heard it after I got through praying. Aubrey and little Shy, they're out there, and that now they're after a snack, or they get a treat if they get these Bible verses, you know, rehearse them. And so she said, Shy said, "Oh, I have rehearsed mine 20 times." And Aubrey said,
"Not me, Papa. I just did it this morning. One time, and I already know it, Papa." And I said,
"Well, that's good. Somebody going to get a prize then and everything." But they're over there, and they said, "There shall no evil befall me. Not any plague shall come nigh my dwelling." Hallelujah. And I thought, that's my scripture, bless God. And I went on, and I told them, I said, "Only with your eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked." See, we serve a big God. I have angels. You have angels. And yes, ISIS is already, the people that are coming in flooded our borders. They're down in our midst right now. They're on the inside of the United States of America. They're raging war. We got them in Congress right now that is chanting against us that we pay on the Democratic side that should be kicked out. A generation earlier, 10 years, you would have not had anybody in the government that we pay that is not for us. But that's okay. We're not complainers. Our God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The psalmist David, he prayed to the Lord one time and he said, "Lord," he said, "make my paths smooth." Hallelujah. Isaiah said He'll make the crooked places straight. So I want to encourage you. Let the heathen rage. Let the wars and rumors of war. Listen to the prophets, man. Hook yourself up. It's not doom and gloom. This is about the coming of Jesus. This is about the Messiah. And He's going to show things that is happening right now that is prophesied in the Bible that will fire the generation, this generation up, Johnny. It's going to fire us up when we see God smack down Putin. Them that's going against Israel, they're the apple of His eye. They're going to smack them down. He's going to deliver them into their hands. He is, He's our God, and He ain't changed. He delivered them into their hands many times. They had to take down the enemy. Well, our enemy mostly is spiritual. But you know what? I believe because we've been a God-fearing nation, that this nation was founded on biblical principles, that we have had God's hand to protection. And I believe the further God's hand is pushed off, the more that He cannot protect. But the children of Israel in the Bible, they had light in Goshen. So God's going to take care of us, praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise You.